Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show today. I'm very excited to have my guest. Her name is Bridget Cutshall, and she is the founder of Gemini Media. She's a health advocate, and you'll learn more about that. She's also an author, and she is a cancer survivor. She has a story to share. Welcome to the show, Bridget.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it, Marcia.
Well, I think that we have some things in common, and I'm looking forward to learning about your story and sharing it with others. So let's start off at the very beginning. And oh my goodness, that just went into a song from The Sound of Music, a very good place to start. Okay, so music is always up there, what can I tell you? So why don't we start off by having you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, a little bit about myself. I live in the southeast, I say southeast, or near Atlanta, and I grew up around the military, well, as a child, and so I'm now a mom of boys, and I have my own company, and I have a very supportive husband, and people have always liked my creativity and curiosity and the humor that I throw in, because that helps through life. I've always looked for something funny for some reason.
Is that funny? That's interesting. Huh. Maybe we'll discover why as we continue
Maybe.
This conversation. Oh, my gosh. So you've got a couple of boys. You live in Atlanta. You've got your husband. I think you've got some dogs we're going to be talking about in a little bit. And you mentioned the military. So how did being raised around a military family affect your upbringing?
Well, for those that have done this, same as me, you don't see your father a lot. Right? You don't. And that was kind of hard when I look back on that. But I was also very supportive of my dad, right? He's doing the right thing to protect me. But when you're four, you don't understand that, right? I had an older brother, and we were just kind of on our own a lot. Mm-hmm. And my mom had to work, so we didn't really see her a lot. And we did move around a lot, too. So that was kind of hard, but in reflecting on that, it helped me deal with change easier. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get stuck and they don't want to change. And when I was younger, I was not living someplace more than 4 or 5 years, right?
Wow.
That's what it was. So you didn't get connected to certain people other than my brother who tolerated me. I'm his younger sister. Think about that.
Oh, my gosh.
And stuff that we did was hilarious. But that, I think that's why I probably got my sense of humor and learned it from him. But we supported each other. My mom, think about it. It was really hard on her. And this is when I got married, she got married in 1960, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was just being a woman back then. But as being around the military, you learn to respect changes a little bit better because that's what happens in life. And you learn to definitely respect what the spouse who's at home having to deal with, what they're having to do.
What branch of the military was your dad in?
My father was in the Army. He was in, I think he was in Korea. He met my mom when he was stationed in France. She's not a, she's not a native U.S. citizen. I mean, she is now, but that's what it was. It's the Army he was in, and then my mom and him got divorced when I was around 5. That's kind of what it is about military families. They get divorced a lot. It's very, very common, so lots of divorces. So my
you
mom
know,
was
it's,
married.
It's,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, so she was married 3 times by the time I was 17, so you know I had an attitude.
Well, I'll tell you, my father was also in the military.
Uh-huh.
And he actually retired from the National Guard. So he had a job once he came out of the Army, and he was the National Guard. He just met like once a month, and then every summer he went to camp for 2 weeks. That's what I recall. But
right.
What I learned from my dad was organization, like
right.
This is how you fold shirts. This is
right,
how you
true.
Fold socks. Is that the truth, right? This is how you
yes. –
so he was orderly. My father was very orderly, not me, but
right.
but
and
he was.
Other, brought that your bed, how to make your bed.
how to make your bed, absolutely. And if you didn't make it right, he messed it up and made you do it again. So it's funny how we can those of us that, like I said, my dad was in the war also, but I wasn't born yet. And so it's interesting, having been in the National Guard for formative years of my life, my early teens, perhaps. I'm not quite sure how old I was when he was completely out of the National Guard, but it is kind of interesting about that. But I'm just curious, do you have relatives and cousins that live here?
A little bit. How's that? Just my siblings, my brother, who's older than me, and my sister. I probably do have some cousins. I was born in Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Oh.
But my father was an only child. And so my grandmother died she died in like 2011. My grandmother lived to be in her late 90s.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Really, really helped to my mother, because my mom came here, right, and she couldn't speak English very well. My father met
mm-hmm.
her stationed in France. And so if I do have cousins here, if you live in Kentucky, reach out to me. I'm just kidding. But I do have a lot, all my relatives mostly that I'm aware of are all in France and Europe.
Yes.
And whereas my father was an only child, and my aunt that I talk to occasionally, she got sick over COVID. But she never had kids, so that's why I don't really connect with the people in Kentucky. But that's where I was born, and that's where, thank God, my grandmother helped my mom adjust
mm-hmm.
to be here in the U.S., which I think is really kind of cool. But then again,
sure.
that marriage didn't last maybe less than 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. I don't really have a. Now, I have a lot of relatives on my husband's side of the family, right, the Cutshaw side
mm-hmm.
of the family. That's where most of the relatives are. They are in Indiana, in Ohio, and Cutshaw is not a common name. So that's kind of why you know if you're related to us.
that's a perfect segue. And as someone that also is a podcaster, you understand why I said that. For those of you that are listening and you're going, well, how does she spell her name? Let me spell Bridget's name for you so that you can also visit her fabulous website. So her Bridget is spelled BRIGITTE, and her last name continues CUTSHALL.com. So when you go to that website, you'll see this beautiful face of Bridget and all the different things that she does with her company. But you mentioned your husband, and I'd be just curious. I know how I met my husband. How did you meet your husband?
Well, it was, I went to school in North Carolina, which is near, for college, I mean, near
mm-hmm.
Fort Bragg, which I think it was renamed recently. I'm not sure what they renamed it to. But Fort
mm-hmm.
Bragg, my father was the 82nd Airborne Commander. And I got a job on base to work as like a, I shouldn't say secretary, but I was good at typing, okay? I had a job to do. And one of the guys I thought was really kind of cute there, and they invited me to a party. It was not just military, but it was a combination of civilians like me and military guys. And I went to this party because I thought this guy was really cute and he's going to be there. And he I just laugh at how funny this is. My husband knows this. So that guy opened up the door at the party I went to, and then he turned around and introduced me to this cousin named Carl, and they really weren't cousins, but they were both from Wisconsin, and Bats, my husband, was the pretending to be his the guy's cousin. And I met him at a party, and I was not comfortable at this party, I guess because there was, you know, I'm not a drinker, and there's drinking going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy was, I just laugh about this. He was hitting on me, and so my this guy came over and put his arm around me, this big tall guy named Carl, and said, leave her alone, this is my wife. And I went, and I smiled at him, and that was Carl. First he ever said to me. And he's really tall. I'm really short. But then, Marsha, I'm like, okay, I got to go now, because I thought, is this guy, you know, I didn't know, is this guy a weirdo too, right? And but I left because I'm a girl, and my stepfather taught me to, you know, just to, when all that kind of stuff is going on, it's time to leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I left, and then my car wouldn't start. Thank goodness it was a stick shift. So I told this guy named Carl and Kurt, the guy that I, but I, and so they helped push my car to start it. You know, that's what's the bonus of having a stick shift. You can get it to start that way. But then I saw him at another party a couple weeks later. And back then, you didn't have mobile phones, so he had to call me from a payphone. Right, he had to call me from a payphone. This is the 1984 kind of thing. And so eventually, he did have the courage to ask me out. And he eventually learned that my stepfather was a company commander that he reported to.
But
he's still okay. And so my stepfather liked him. So they all got along really well. But he was, I joked that he was very brave asking out the company commander's stepdaughter, daughter. But he just was kind, and I knew right away the first thing he said to that other guy was, leave her alone, this is my wife. And I went, oh, my God.
That's so funny. You know, I'm reflecting on some of the things you're saying. And one of them is that you mentioned that you were – short and that Carl is tall.
Yes.
What's the difference in your height?
13 inches.
Okay. So here's another commonality. So my husband was 6'3" and I'm 5'3". So he was 12 inches taller than me. And now my daughter did not that height, but my son did. But it's just interesting how we meet and how I met. But this story is about you, so we're going to move on with you and how you met your husband. But I love the fact that this is a conversation. I feel like we're just sitting in Starbucks and, you know, we're just chit-chatting about, you know, life. So I'm curious, did you, based on the fact that you had kind of an interesting childhood, did you want kids growing up?
Well, I think part of it is I had to help raise my sister. She was 8 years younger than me. She's from her father is my mom's second husband. So this husband kind of basically raised me. I mean, he was really good, but he was in the Army as well. And he had a Purple Heart, but I had to help a lot with my sister. And she was a handful, okay?
We won't tell her.
But she knows that, all right? She does know. But that thing was, like, holy cow, I saw this different taking care of a child, taking care of a dog or a cat, all right? And I was, I'm the middle child, and I've always innately wanted to help, you know, other people. And then my sister was very attached to me, but we had an eight-year age difference, but so I kind of, she always said I was like her second mother, right?
Sure.
And my brother was 12 years older than her, so he didn't care. You know what I'm saying? He was 12 years old.
Right. And he's a boy.
And he always already had to take care of Bridget.
Exactly. There you have it. Well, you know, you think about it, And so she's like 8 years old, 9 years old. You're 18, 19 years old. I mean, that's a big spread when you're that age. You know, when you're 19 and 28, that's something different. But that's a big spread.
You know,
I'm sure she really looked up to you.
She looked up to me, and she still does, and she knows I love her. But she was a handful, and she didn't have, like my brother and I were kind of like partners, so we could burn steam off. My sister didn't have a sibling close to her age, if that makes sense. And my mom went back to college to work on her master's, and so that's one of the reasons why around the house more. And
sure.
I just a lot of work. I mean, well, I love my sister, but I was just like, holy crap, because I had to work hard too for get really good, keep good grades, and that in that time frame they wanted girls to be athletes, and I was blessed to be a good athlete. But that was a lot.
What sport did you play? What did you like?
I did gymnastics. I did cheerleading. I did track and field and cross country. And I did well at all of them. And the one I liked at the end, I continued doing is cross country. Well, running, not track and field. But and that was my sister. I always had to have her with me. And my poor friends. She didn't have a babysitter. I was her babysitter too.
Wow, that's interesting. That's fascinating. So I think you got a thing about dogs, right? Why do you love your dogs so much? Tell us about these three fabulous dogs of yours.
Well, they're all adopted. I've always I've noticed that dogs are, I don't know, they always make me feel better. I think it goes back to when I was really young and my real father got me a dog, right, when he was gone, or me and my brother the dog. And I got very attached to that dog. And so ever since then, my parents knew that Bridget and dogs go good together. And so I grew up with a dog, not multiples like I have now, but I've learned that they remind you to be in the moment, to enjoy it, right, and not to keep rushing things. And dogs just, I think they can calm you down. Decided to adopt dogs just because in the Southeast here, we have a problem with so many dogs. I mean, that's a different story. But I've just looked at the ethics of that, and one of my best friends growing up, her parents were really nice to me, too. She had a big dog, too. So that's one thing I had in common with some of my friends, right? They had dogs. You're a good person. That's why if you connect with an animal, I don't know, that's just, I think, not just necessarily dog, but animals, I think a dog can tell if you're good or bad. I had one of my dogs save my life one time, okay?
Really? What happened?
Oh, it was really at our other house. I think I was pregnant with my first child, and somebody knocked on our door, and they were pretending to be like some of the cable guy, and they said something was wrong with the cable stuff in the house, in the neighborhood. So I believed him because his truck was out there. So I brought him in, and the dog that I had at the time, the male, he did not growl or bark, but the way he was staring at the guy, and I knew it was not right. And when the guy said, I need to go check you have cable up, not cable, whatever it is, up in your bedroom, I said, it's time to get out of here. And I had another dog, too, and she was barking like crazy. And I said, you need to go now, because I don't know if I can control my dogs. And we learned later on the news, this guy was robbing people.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
And my dog
knew.
Yes.
You're so instinctive. You have big dogs, don't you? Tell our listeners about the dogs you have.
Right, I do.
They're biggies.
One is we adopted from the we got a call from Auburn University. It was the National Pyrenees Rescue Group. He was found. Mm-hmm. He's not purebred. And then the other one was Pyrenees. She was given to us for free. And then the one I got suckered in, I shouldn't say suckered, during COVID, and there's so many dogs are ending up at shelters. And it's everywhere. And I had to help. And this dog is so happy. And so they all get along. And my husband, by the way, he's like the dog whisperer. He knows.
I love that.
Train them really well. And I spoil them, and he trains them. But that's one thing mm-hmm. we have in common. He likes dogs, too. And he saw that these dogs are trainable. You know, he has to go check them out. I can't just randomly bring home a dog, right?
Right.
He checks them out, too. But they are all really good, and they just bring so much joy in,
sure.
I think, to my life anyway.
Calm. They do.
Yeah,
they bring calm. So your Pyrenees are the white dogs, and you have your brown dog. Is that also a Pyrenees?
No, we're not sure what he is. He's the one that got
okay.
there in November of 2020.
During COVID?
Well,
yeah.
Yes. I think he's he might be some kind of German Shorthair Pointer, lab mix kind of. They don't know. But
okay.
He looks like a lab. I've had Labradors in the past.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
he is very friendly, and he loves being around his brother and sister. We call them the white ones, and with the chocolate. <He's> like,
and the chocolate one. You got vanilla
rather.
And chocolate, right?
That's,
oh, that's so funny.
It's just
oh.
it's so much fun together, and it just makes you calm.
Well, and this isn't a calm question I'm about to ask you, so I do know this about you. How did you learn that in 2006 that you had breast cancer? That must have been
pretty scary.
It
was one of those things where you got to have your annual checkups. And
yep.
My OBGYN, she had recommended I do a mammogram to have like a baseline, which is recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I did that in like 2004. And so because I was over 40 then in 2006, she's like, let's get another one. And that's when I found that tiny growth going on. And it was
mm-hmm.
from the second mammogram. And one thing that people don't know, breast cancer doesn't run in my family, but I had dense breasts. I mean, that's important
mm-hmm.
to know. But
yes.
dense breasts, for some reason, are likely to get breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's why my OBGYN recommended it. But she had stage 2 or 3 breast cancer. So she is just a really
wow.
good doctor. She just knew something. So I had to get it taken care of. And I think I called what was a, I can't think of the type of surgery. It was teeny tiny to remove
it.
And then
was it called a lumpectomy?
Yes, lumpectomy. Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm thinking forehead.
That's
I had a lumpectomy.
Okay. My mother had breast cancer. I'm familiar.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So a lumpectomy, you had that tumor removed.
Yeah, but it wasn't clear, Marcia. I didn't have clear margin back in and
yes.
do another. Because I think it's 3 millimeters. I don't know. I didn't have a clear margin. And so I had to go back and so they tested it, and they said it was considered kind of aggressive. And I had radiation, which was to that right side, because
mm-hmm.
it was considered aggressive. And then this breast cancer doctor that I had, he was a researcher, too. I highly believe in these kind of doctors because they're open
mm-hmm.
to looking at different things. And then they were doing testing on me to make sure he was okay, and my hormones were just really, like my prolactin levels and growth hormones, and I think those are the two that were out of whack, and prolactin is what makes breast milk. And
mm-hmm.
that's kind of weird, right? And they
mm-hmm.
they were wondering why my hormones weren't getting back to normal. And I think they gave me some kind of prescription. I don't remember the name of the medicine. And all it did, Marcia, I just wanted to go run a marathon. I'm like, I can't. This may be too hyper. I can't
wow,
take it.
Wow, interesting.
I'm naturally hyper. Okay, that's just how I'm wired. Naturally hyper. So the medicine, I was on it for a little. And then my hormone levels were still getting worse. And so that's when the birth doctor, like, something's not right. This medicine's not working on her. And anyway, they did an MRI of my brain to check out the pituitary, and they found that I had a tiny pituitary tumor. And then in the back
ooh.
Of my head, a bigger tumor, which was what the heck is that?
Wow.
Right, it wasn't for these doctors that are open to looking at different things and not just prescribing
sure.
a pill, right?
Yes. So what happened next?
Next, that was fun. The they didn't know. They were like in shock because it's a rare primary brain tumor. Means it's not. It started growing probably over. I probably had it in my brain for at least 10 years, but it's in the back. It's called a vestibular schwannoma, which goes on your balance nerve, which is also near your hearing nerve, your acoustic nerve, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor's like, oh, my God. And so I'm glad he did this. So he had me see a couple of different specialists. And then that was, I had to go see a neurologist. Like, what do we do with Bridget? Because this was very rare, and where it was located was I had to do something, and the size of it, I couldn't just ignore it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think I saw 6 specialists for this. There's not that many in Atlanta that specialize in this, so I ended up going to see a specialist in Chicago, the Northwestern University Hospital, who specialized in this kind of tumor. So he made me, said it's recommended this thing called... similar to CyberKnife. It's like a targeted radiation because surgery would have caused paralysis on me. Right, so I went back. The original is called Gamma Knife and CyberKnife. Gamma Knife is the one that's an older type of targeted radiation, and the CyberKnife is actually much, much better. And it was brand new technology at the time, and so I went that route. And it shrunk the tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't kill it completely, okay?
Oh.
And then,
okay.
Which was, but we didn't know at the time. And then it shrunk almost a whole centimeter. My tumor, when it was discovered, was 2.5 centimeters. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
And shrank it down to below, it was like 1.7 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was doing fine. And so by the way, the reason I chose the CyberKnife, the neurosurgeon who monitors this, I asked him. He's one of the most recommended ones here in the area. I said, is this, if your wife had this kind of tumor, would you do surgery on her? And he said, no, I would not. And then I said, I trust you, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't pushing surgery on me. So anyway, that worked, and that got me a little dizzy for, think about that. I was a little dizzy for a while. I should say dizzy, but I didn't like walk in the dark because your brain is trying to heal and get back to normal balancing. And then I'm like, I want to run again. So I started running again because, doing all that stuff, you had to be careful. And then in 2014, which is 8 years after.
Yeah, the original.
I'm doing the math right. After the first breast cancer, this is all in between, because the brain tumor is found in between. My breast cancer had come back. I found it in my armpit, a growth, and I thought it was a lymph node. And so I'm like, oh, God. So I called right away. And what they did was they told me it was growing in the breast tail. I didn't know there's such a thing. You have a breast tail tissue in your armpit.
I didn't either.
Right, so thank God for that, right? And
really?
So they ended up, they had to remove a lymph node in each side to make sure it was good. And so they did the surgery. I ended up deciding to go with a double mastectomy because I'm like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And they did what's called an oncotype of the everything that was, all that was removed. The oncotype is the type of tumor. Again, it was very, very aggressive. And I'm like, when I went the route of, we decided on chemo then at that point, and we were hoping it would kill, the brain tumor was still growing back again a little bit, okay? It had, shrunk.
Oh, no.
Right. I'm like, and so I had these, my sons were very, very helpful. They were like my beacon of. That's kind of how I saw it. And that's what scared me, though. I was more scared about the brain tumor than I was the breast cancer because we're like, we got to stop this. Anyway, so the chemotherapy worked fine with the breast. I'm still, this is 10 years, by the way, the, this year.
Right.
That my cancer, which is great. And then
yes.
the tumor, the brain tumor, we waited, I think another, after the surgery, I think we waited 8 months for having another MRI of my brain. And it was okay, but it's been slowly growing back. Now it's back up to 2 centimeters, which is 2 years after this breast cancer, 2016. And that's when my OBGYN, who's been behind, who's helped me, you know, a lot through all this,
sure.
she recommended I have a tetanus booster shot, which is being repurposed for killing brain tumors. And it worked on me. So my brain tumor changed after that tetanus booster shot. And I, isn't that funny? I'm going to have another one in a couple of years. It'll be, you know, 10 years later. That's what mm-hmm. that's what got me back to normal. I had chemo. Isn't that weird? I had chemo and all that stuff, the targeted radiation to my brain.
Sure.
And then the only – and the tetanus booster shot killed it. And
– you know – I want to interrupt you just for a quick question, and that is, do you think had you not started with breast cancer, they would have even detected the fact that you had a brain
Probably
tumor?
Probably not.
Yes. It's almost like your brain, it's almost like your breast cancer saved your life.
Yes.
I mean, that's a crazy way of saying it, but I'm listening to this story, and I'm thinking, there would have been no reason for you to be checking your brain for a tumor, and it was
Uh-oh.
So small, and then for you to have your breast cancer come back. I mean, you've dealt with a lot, but it
right.
sounds, whoever knew that a tetanus shot could affect a brain tumor. I mean, this is a phenomenal
right.
story. I mean, really, Bridget, what a phenomenal story. Wow.
It's important to also work with doctors who are going to let you
yes.
ask questions. They got to they and then my doctor, thank God, she had breast cancer in the past, and that's why she was very curious. She knew
sure.
in my check we but I right, she knew I had these dense breasts. Bridget might have. That's why she started off with the baseline mammogram. And
right.
some people can get breast cancer from mammogram. No. You don't
no.
want to do it all the time, but I think they've increased the age, right, to get mammograms now. When I back
yes.
then it was like 30, but they've increased the age. But that's not what caused mine. Mine is right.
No.
You're right. The brain.
You want to know?
Slowly.
You want to know something funny?
What?
You want to know something funny? You know what I'm doing tomorrow at 8:45?
Mammogram.
yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, just a little personal share here, but
you
know if it. We need to do this. My mother died from her breast cancer, and she was
wow.
in her 60s. They didn't know as
wow.
much then as they know now. And,
right.
you know, it's just, it's very interesting that we're having this conversation because, frankly, and you know this because you're also a podcaster as well, and we're going to talk about your media business next, but you don't know who's listening to this that might go, you know what? Marcia's getting a mammogram tomorrow. Bridget's been talking about how the mammograms saved her life. I guess I probably should go get a mammogram. We don't even know how many lives we might be saving right now just based on our conversation. So I want to thank you for sharing such a very personal story about your health because I think that's important, which kind of takes us into other avenues of you. And I wanted to ask you now, if you wouldn't mind, if you wanted to just tell our audience a little bit more about your Gemini Media business, because I'm looking at your website right now. It's quite a page. So tell us about what you do for your business.
What I do is I actually started it going through cancer treatment after chemo.
Wow.
And because I'm like, I wasn't jumping right in, but it helped provide value
mm-hmm.
to me, right? My clients,
mm-hmm.
they're very supportive. And because my background is in the publishing and communications and printing, I guess that's the right word. And
mm-hmm.
so they trusted me, and I helped do production, really, for them. Because there's a lot of technical changes all the time, and I'm up to date and have all the contacts. And they're the ones, my clients are the ones that convinced me to do this. And I love books. I like any kind of stories, right? And but most of it is is book related, or not just regular books, but print media. Is that the right word?
Right, right. I think that's terrific.
Right. And the one of them, they're a global nonprofit, one of my clients, and they trusted me. They sent me to, like, check out the printing plants for some of the people they were using. They sent me, they sent me to India.
Wow.
Because I understand what to look for in the environment. That's what helps, right, being in the production aspect. And quality is, as you know, is really important when you're something like print media, even on videos, even in audio for a podcast. So I've been very fast always with that's why I called my company Gemini Media. And Gemini is my
astrological sign.
I just made it up when I was signing up to my
perfect
business.
That's perfect. That's just, why does that not surprise me? Because you also have humor. When did you start Gemini Media? When did that start?
Well, I started it, like I said, it was 2014.
So
I joked that I was 10 years and I was bald, but I wasn't doing too much business that first year. I got it started. And then I just love a book and sharing stories. And my clients just trusted me. And again, it's basically production, meaning like you got a 10,000 copy project, and I can help you with that because that's not something you do print on. No.
Got it.
And it's just something I've always. One of my customers, another one, he laughs. He says the first time he was referred to me by IPG, Independent Publishers Group. And,
okay.
He said the first thing I did was I picked up the book that he had that was falling apart, right? Because he was trying to cut corners. That's what a lot of people don't understand, the production. You have to use the right vendors. And he laughs because he said I picked up the book and I was touching it and sniffing it and feeling it because I like physical books. And I made an impression on him. I was just being me.
You sure did. Yeah, it's a lot easier to be you than to try to be you, you know?
Correct.
Just being you and being authentic and genuine is important. And you've earned an international health coach certification. What inspired you to become a health advocate?
It had to do with my personal experiences, and I met a lot of other great people along the path. I'm not the only person who's dealt with health problems, and that's what it was. And it also helped me with my healing, all that other crazy stuff I mentioned. I all knew my gut said I had to be careful. What are you eating, Bridget, right? And so I discovered that I had an issue with dairy, which probably wasn't helping my body. So that's when I wanted to understand it. And so I do write content around that.
Good.
Around the nutrition and the health coach. But you just need to, again, it is just so important. And I cut out dairy, and I felt better, and wasn't so tired. And then what it was, too, because I had that stupid brain, I call it stupid brain tumor, that made me a little tired just because it's my one side of my brain was overbalancing, if that makes sense.
Sure, it does.
So you had the proper energy. And in healing and what you eat does help you heal. And I did the international aspect because I just thought it was cool to do that. And I just wanted to, it certifies. I do know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you think, and I would agree with you, that it's really important that we listen to our bodies, right?
Right. Exactly. And an example was I kept, before we discovered the brain tumor, I kept saying my body was hurting. Why am I so dizzy all the time?
Mm.
And you need to get this. And I was not going to succumb to taking pain medicine. I did not want to do that. Because I just, that suppresses what you can't heal. I mean, you need it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But
right.
I was trying to find out what was causing all these weird body aches, and it was the brain tumor and eating dairy, right?
Interesting.
And I think, yeah, and I think it's sooner rather than later is when you should go get things checked out and not just
mm-hmm.
wait till it gets too bad of a situation. And I had some people think I'm weird, but whatever, because you don't eat dairy. I'm like, yeah, but I feel better. So why
mm-hmm.
should I go eat it?
Exactly. That's a no offense. I don't mean this to be a pun, but that's a no-brainer in my opinion. So, of course
yes.
not. Yes, absolutely. And you know, I mentioned at the top of when we first started talking that you are an author. You've written several books. Have you written 4 books or 5 books?
I believe it's 5.
You've just right. Go ahead.
For most of my adult life, I never really published or wrote my book until after that, the last cancer, because I thought, because Marcia, I didn't know really how much time I had left. I really
mm-hmm.
did not. And the first book I wrote is called Real Things, 6 Ways to Embrace Life. And what it was, it was based off of content from my blog that was my son's convinced me to start. Right? Because,
mm-hmm.
Mom, you need to, I'm from the generation where you don't share stuff, right? Keep it inside.
Right, right.
So there was a theme there, and that's why I wrote this first book, and I put it all together, and I added visuals because I like that kind of
mm-hmm.
content, stories, visuals, and the words. And I presented it at the Lincoln Jazz Center in New York.
Nice.
That was kind of cool. And, I had a bunch of copies, and I brought it to the cancer center where I had my chemo at to help people
nice.
Feel better and give them some hope and inspiration
mm-hmm.
and things I wanted to do with that book for people dealing with health issues. You really got to be careful what you're eating, especially with cancer. They're telling us that to be, you know, eat good, going through chemo, blah, blah, blah. Yet people are giving us, dropping off cookies and Coke, right? So I was trying to be a role model. Here, when
right.
you go there, you're drinking water. Have an apple, right? It's okay
mm-hmm.
to have a cookie every now and then, but don't eat a bunch of cookies when you're going through chemo.
Sugar. Yeah.
Right. It's not good for you. I mean, so that's what it was. The first book
mm-hmm.
was Real Things, 6 Ways to Embrace Life. The second book is called Expecting the Good, Inspiration from a Badass with a Big Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I wrote after my stepfather died. He had such a big impact on me.
Yeah.
And he's the one that I didn't realize I needed a stable father figure, right? I didn't have one, really, until my
right.
mom married him. And
right.
he passed unexpectedly of a heart attack at home. And
oh,
I learned so much. He's a West Pointer. He's like, you know, special forces. And he was just so calm. And maybe that's another thing I learned from being around the military is to be calm, figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had wrote this book to dedicate to him. And it's at the West Point, you know, I shouldn't call it the store, but where all the cadets go. They like that book. They like it because
mm-hmm.
it's actually, they're trying to actually trying to get this made into a movie. I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
Then
that's exciting.
Happened, the crazy strikes happened last year from the writers and the actors.
Right.
Everything backlogged. So we're just trying to find. But that's people like that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was written by a woman about this super macho man.
Yeah.
The other book I have, I wrote, it's called Quality Book Formula. It's about a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And about all the steps you need, how to create a good quality book. And I have
mm-hmm.
some downloads for that. And then I also wrote a children's book just during COVID called
wow.
It's Fun to Run, because I like to run, trying to inspire girls
yes.
to run.
Good.
And I do. It's just basically I had a poem, and then I had some illustrations made. And my most recent book is the
Move for You.
For You, yeah. How to you know, empower yourself by, you know, having a healthy, happy life through exercise. And and it's not just my story. There's so many other people who've dealt with health issues and other cancer people. It helps your body heal physically and mentally. And I say move for you because I'm not going to tell you to go run because you might want to go ride a bike. You might want to go walk. Mm-hmm. You might hike. What makes you happy? That makes
move.
Sense.
That's
you
the
have
key.
To move. Just up. And that's one of the things I did both after both of the cancer situations and the surgeries and all that. I did have physical therapy afterwards because I told them I'm going to run, I want to run, I got to run, and they knew that they understood that I needed that mentally too. And I had physical therapists that were runners too, so they get it. And I don't when I say run, I don't run marathons. If I go run, you know, like 3 miles or for that, I like it. And that what makes me happy. And
you know, it's interesting that you say that. I'm not a runner, but I'm a walker. And
right.
I've walked 4 miles today before we've gotten on the air together. And I don't know, maybe you can relate to this. But there's a lot of things in our lives that we don't have control over, and we wish that we did, but in reality, we don't. But I see my walking, because I've got this crazy watch that's telling me to walk and stand up and move. You know, and do you have an Apple Watch?
I do, and it tells me, Bridget, you're sitting or
get
up. Right.
Stand up.
It is. It's good. It's a good reminder. That's one thing I write about in the book is using a little bit of adding a little bit of technology to motivate you.
Absolutely.
In, Apple Watch.
And so Bridget, I've had my Apple Watch, and I know I'm bragging, but I'm proud of this, and so that's why I'm mentioning it. I've had my Apple Watch for 6 months,
awesome.
And I have not missed one day closing my rings.
Awesome.
Not one. And that means even when we've had all this rain and it's like, well, where are you supposed to walk? Well, I went inside the mall one day and just walked and walked. I'm a member of my YMCA, so I went and got on the treadmill, you know. And
right.
so I feel like it's something that I have control over because I make myself, I want to do it. I don't need to do it. I want to do it. And I think that that's important, and I think you can relate to that. But something else that you and I can relate to is that you're a podcaster and you have a show called Real Things Living. So what's your podcast about?
Well, it's an offshoot of that first book, Real Things, Six Ways to Embrace Life. And it focuses on Real Things Living. It focuses on resilience. We're all dealing with something. Originally, I don't always have a guest on, but originally I did have a guest. They were talking about cancer issues. And I'm like, people have all kinds of issues out there, not just cancer, and it's about how they build the resilience, pick themselves up, right, and how they pivot, because you kind of have to do that. And that's kind of what I think I went back to being a military brat. You have to, being around a military family.
No.
You learn to make, you know, accept those changes sometimes and not hold yourself back. And that's what real things, not when I say things, it's not, to me, I'm more into experiences and not having physical stuff. Now, the only physical thing I do like are running shoes and books.
Right.
And my dog. But that's what
dogs,
it is.
Dogs, right?
Some great stories on there. And I just get so much energy, and it just gives me hope, too. And that's really what it is. It's about hope. I have a hope, and I want to give people hope that it is okay. You're not alone, and there's just, we all have, we have a destination in front of us. You just got to get started, like you said, with that watch. And Real Things Living wants you to find, you know, your place in this world and pick yourself up and learn from it and share with others. The most recent guest I had, it hasn't been released yet. One of the people that was kidnapped in Venezuela. A hostage because he was being used as he was an executive in the oil industry. Remember, we had some sanctions, just like that. I'm like, oh, my, what he learned. And one of the things that made him survive after 5 years, he was exercising, by the way, Marcia.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. And that helped him mentally. People don't realize just a walk or just doing a, you know, a push-up, whatever, whatever you like
mm-hmm.
to do, that mm-hmm. really is not that your mind and body are connected. And it helped him. He had someone, it wasn't just him that was a hostage. It was a couple other people, and they really bonded over that. And they used their, you know, that's just an example of, it hasn't been released yet. But it's
okay.
an unbelievable story that he shared. I couldn't imagine surviving 5 years as a hostage, right?
Really? What a remarkable story. So you pre-record your podcast, correct? Is that
they're
your pre-recorded standard?
And I have mm-hmm. some, it tweaked and have some clips made. And I enjoy all the, it's amazing the amount of people that have, amazing people that you meet on a podcast. This, right?
It's the truth because, you know, and you use the word, and it's one of my favorite words that's been so, and I don't want to say overutilized because I don't think it can be overutilized, but it's a word that's definitely become part of our vocabulary, which is pivot.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm older than you, and pivoting, the older you get, sometimes is a little bit more difficult because maybe you're just not prepared to pivot. Or, well, you can't make me, and you put your hand on your hip, you know. There's all kinds of ways that you just don't know. I'm going to throw in another personal story because of the timing. There was no way that I knew 15 years ago tomorrow that I would be doing what I'm doing today.
Right.
But my husband died 15 years ago tomorrow.
Oh, well.
Unexpectedly, at a basketball for March Madness at the Staples Center. We had gone out for breakfast. We drove to the Staples Center. Our son works for the University of Arizona, still does. We're wearing our Arizona gear. And this 6'3", 250-pound dude, because I said he was a lot taller, but he was also a lot heavier than me, too, he died of sudden cardiac arrest. And it was, as you might imagine, very shocking,
right.
unexpected. He was only 62 years old. And ultimately, not right away, I must admit, it wasn't right away, I made a pivot in my life from being Mrs. to being Marcia.
Right.
It wasn't that I didn't have my own personality, because God knows I've always known who I was. But I didn't learn just how much who I was as a woman, widowed woman, until I was put into the situation of being in that category, so to speak. And it's interesting what life gives us, and you can either dive into the earth and bury your head and say, I'm not coming out, this is more than I'll ever be able to handle, or I've got pictures of him in front of me as I'm speaking to you, and I've got words in front of me that he used. One of them was, trust the process. It is what
right.
it is. Adapt.
Right.
And so you never know where you're going to get your messages from your loved ones or how what you do has also affected your loved ones. But based on everything that you're doing, I would just be curious, and I might have an idea, but how do you personally balance all that you do in your professional life with your personal life?
Well, what I do is I make sure Bridget gets a walk. I
yep.
don't run every day. I have to get a walk
mm-hmm.
in.
Yep.
That helps me. I do it with my husband. That's one thing that we have
That's
in common.
Nice.
And my dogs. I can't mm-hmm. take all three by myself, but I sometimes, Marcia, I go one at a time. That's
mm-hmm.
what I have to do. And then I make sure I do my stretches. It's important
mm-hmm.
as you get older, as you understand. And
right.
all these surgeries and all that crap I've had done to my body, I have a lot of scar tissue, so that's one of the
mm-hmm.
reasons that stretching is important. But then and going outside helps me a lot. Then it gives me some ideas. Then I have the energy to work.
Right.
That makes sense.
Got
to take care of yourself first. And that is, I call it like, I like to also call it a rhythm. And I do.
It is a rhythm.
My,
mm-hmm.
And I have some great ideas to write after I go for a walk. I have these great ideas. I don't know what it is. A lot of people are that same way too. That something about being outside helps them. But then me, I have my sidekicks, my dogs. But okay. It allows me. I got to take care of myself, and then I'm making sure I'm eating, you know, drinking, taking breaks, and like you said, your Apple Watch will remind you to stand up and not to sit
right.
too much. That's really
and
what balance.
Sleeping is also important. Our rest is as important as our walking. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes,
it's important. It is important. It's kind of a balance. And, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned that you get some great ideas when you walk. I do too. But here's where we're probably very different. I might get that great idea while I'm walking. But if I don't speak to my phone and send myself a text message about it, I may not remember it. So I frequently will send myself a text message while I'm walking. Instead of trying to be in the moment, it's like, really, Marcia, really? Can you just, like, just take a deep breath? Could you bring your shoulders away from your earlobes and not wear them as earrings? Could you just appreciate? I walk by 3 dog parks every day. It's amazing the variety of dogs that I see. When was the last time you saw a Dalmatian?
God, well, I used to have a neighbor that had one. It's been years.
Really?
Right.
You don't. All you see around here where I live are doodles. And,
really?
And it's the doodle society, whether they're the small ones, the standards, the big ones. They're brown, they're white, they're black, they're multicolored doodles. They're everywhere. They're very friendly dogs. And people, you know, if they're living in condominiums or whatever, even if they live in a home and they want to socialize their dogs, you know, they go to these dog parks. And so I see dogs every single day. I have a cat. She's got her own issues, but that's just how it works. But, you know, the finicky cats, as they say. But, you know, I think balance is – let me ask you. So you mentioned that you walk, you stretch, you do all of these things. Do you do yoga?
I do yoga, yeah. I like to do yoga.
Yep. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I used to do Pilates more, but I don't do as much because I – when I'm not in running season, I do more Pilates, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And
it does.
It just lights me up. I love to cook. I'm one of those people that likes to cook because then
okay.
I know what my food,
uh-huh.
you know, what goes
you
in there.
What
yeah, I think my husband used to joke a long time ago that he knows to leave me alone when I'm cooking because he calms me down.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. Well, what we do not share in common is that my husband did all the cooking.
Oh, really?
I was really good at setting the table, washing the dishes. You know, I could do that really well. So, you know, how I eat now and my diet could certainly stand some improvement. But I do think that yoga is very helpful for everyone that just needs to take a deep breath and understands
right.
that 4-square breathing and just relaxes just a minute. So in the last couple minutes that we have, and I don't know if you can answer this in a couple of minutes, but what's next? What's up next for you? Have you got any? Well, I guess the documentary might be what you'd like to see is next, right?
Oh, it's going to be actually turned into a fiction. It's a fictional thing. About that. That makes sense on how I, you know, got into running with him, and I really did, my stepfather. So it's just
mm-hmm.
a matter of trying to get interest, and things are just behind in that kind of industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I have I don't have a whole lot of contacts in the industry, but there is some interest. And then I'm going to continue sharing other people's stories. I like that because it lights me up. It lights
yes.
up a lot of people. I want to continue inspiring others. Sorry if there's a beep there. I want to continue inspiring others, and I'm sure I'm going to write another book. I don't know about what yet, Marcia. How's that?
Okay, but you know it'll come to you.
Yes,
maybe
it will.
It'll
probably
be all about your. I have a feeling I know what would be a good a good book would be all about your dogs and what and how your dogs have affected your life in such a positive way.
Right. Oh yeah, they're always there for you.
Well, I think that's terrific, and I think that, you know, you've allowed me to share a bit more about myself on this podcast, which, I mean, that happens sometimes depending upon the subject matter of my guests, but I felt like there was a lot of crossovers between you and I, and I want to just thank you so very much for your time and your energy and your progressive way of moving forward in your life. I think you are definitely an inspiration to people listening, and I will make sure that people know how they can find your books, how they can find your podcast, and how they can find you, Bridget, because you just never know where another connection is coming from. And I just really want to thank you so much for spending this afternoon with me today.
This was awesome and beautiful, Marcia. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All right, everybody. I'm going to just give you a quick update. I am not doing a podcast next week. I don't ever take a week off. But I am going to be in Las Vegas with my family, going to March Madness, celebrating basketball, and enjoying my time as I think about my husband, my son, my family, my kids, all of them. It's going to be special. So I will see you the following Monday, which is the 25th of March. But until then, tell your friends to listen. This is how we share the word. And thanks once again, Bridget. And I look forward. Maybe we'll talk after you write your next book, all right?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye now for everybody. Have a great rest of your week. Bye for now.
Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo savings options. Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.